few days from now, Chaf Beis Iyar will be the Yahrzeit of the sixth son of the Heilige Rishoner, Rav Mordechai Shraga from Hoisiatin. We spoke about his son, wasn't that long ago, Rav Yisrael from Hoisiatin. And like all the tzaddikim from Beis Rishon, kulo dveikus, kulo pnimius, the Rishoner said about his sixth and youngest son, Rav Mordechai Shraga, that a neshama like this hasn't come down to the world in 2,000 years.
Brother
Derechaim. Huh? Brother Derechaim. Yeah. You know, the Rishoner said about his six sons, he said, you know, and we don't have written Torahs for the Rishoner. He didn't spend time writing. He said Torah, but he didn't write down his Torahs. And we do have a collection of beautiful Torahs from him. But the Rishoner said, while other tzaddikim are Isaac spending their time in writing Svarim, and that's the contribution to the world, my contribution to the world is my children. And he said that my six sons correspond to the Shisha Sajra Mishnah. That's how holy they were. And from them we have many, till today, many tzaddikim, many gezes of chassidus, of course Asiatim, but there's the more famous ones is Boyan and Sadiger, and there's Buhash and others. How did such a neshama come into the world? So when the Rishoner was imprisoned, so he sent a messenger to his mother saying, with a simin, saying, you know, tell my mother that all of this is because of her. That's why he was in prison. So the shliach sent the message, you know, to the mother, and she got it, and she says, Taka, my son is right, my son is right. So what did that mean? Because after he had it ready, his five children, he asked his mother, you know, should he have a sixth child? And he said, I see Mishamam that if I bring down this neshama to the world, it's going to cost me Yisurin, I'm going to have to be in prison for it. So she said, of course you should have a child. What would a father not do for his children? So he sent the messenger to his mother saying, this is for me. My imprisonment is because of you. Once, the way that it was in Rishon was that the children of the Rishoner sat next to him, on the right and to the left, and the Cheshuvim, the Gvirim and the other Tamil Chamim would sit behind the Rishoner. So once when the Rishoner was about to say Torah, so everybody came very close, and there was, you know, some leaning over, and somebody was leaning over on his son, on the Mordechai Shraga, and he let out a certain sigh, like ah, something like that. So the Rishoner says, who dare, he said like that, who dare lay hand on my son, on Mordechai Shraga? He says, do you know how many neshamas I had to bring together to make this one neshama, to bring him into the world? It's makbid on the krechs of his Mordechai Shraga. As we said, he was a ben zkunim to the Rishoner, and he became a Rebbe at a very young age. I think even before he was 20. And he had some hisnagdas to that. There was a particular misnagid. And in the early days of his being Rebbe, so he passed by and he saw a conversation. It was like a heated conversation taking place between two chassidim. And he was a kaddish v'tar at the time, and he had asked, what was that conversation about? And one of the chassidim said, no, Rebbe, you don't need to know. He said, no, please tell me. No, Rebbe, no. I said, please tell me. Nothing wrong will come from it. So he says, okay. So this yid was saying that it's not right that you're so young, you should become a Rebbe. So a short time went by, and all of a sudden he started. This person who was against the Rebbe, everything was okay, and then he was very pro. It didn't take a long time until he was like a chassid of the Rebbe. So they asked him, you know, Rebbe, how did this happen? So he says, I knew he would only be a misnagid until he really saw me. But once he saw me, he said, I had such an ava in my heart for him. Because like, he felt the ahava that I was giving him, so I was able to turn him into an oev, not to be a Sony anymore. Devi Chaim, you mentioned the Devi Chaim. The Devi Chaim, he wrote a tshuva, and in the tshuva he said about the Hoisiatna. He said about him, Hu Kodesh, V'Ganoi Kodesh. He was talking about a certain halacha in Hilchos Erevin. I think it was a shaila in his Erev. So he wrote, Hu Kodesh, V'Ganoi Kodesh, Yelich Ledarkai Kodesh B'Shabbos Kodesh. He said four lashonas of Kodesh. On the Heilig of Moed Cheshvaga. And like in Beis Rishon, you can imagine how growing up in the home of such a Kaddish for Torah and the Rishoner, once I should mention also that his name was Mordechai Shraga. He was the Rishoner said that he gave him that name because he was the neshama of Mordechai Tzaddik. And he was also named after his uncle, who we spoke about just recently, the Chernobyl Magid, Mordechai from Chernobyl. He was an uncle of the Rishoner, and the Rishoner gave him the name Mordechai in the lifetime of Mordechai from Chernobyl, which was very, very unheard of, very uncommon. And they asked the Rishoner why that is. He said, already because the last 15 years of his life, he's already not in this world. He based the name Mordechai. Once one of the Gedolei Hador came to the house of the Rishoner, it says here, they think it was the Chiddush HaRim, and he came to visit the Rishoner, and he saw the young child of Mordechai Shraga was crying. So he asked the Rishoner, he says, why is he crying? So, no, he asked the child, he asked Mordechai Shraga, why do you cry? He says, because I'm hungry. He says, what do you mean? There's a bagel right in front of you. Why don't you take a bite? He says, because the Tatis taught us that which a person wants to eat, he's not allowed to eat.
How old is he?
He was crying. He was a child. He was a child.
He was like 4 or 5. Have a child.
So he said, as we said, the Rishoner had said about his children, that his 6 sons correspond to the Shishei Sidrei Mishnah. So the last Seder in Mishnah is the Seder Taras. And he said that his son, the Mordechai Shraga, that was his Inyan. It was Tara. Tara was his Inyan. The Rishoner said about him that for me, I'm able to hold one thought for 24 hours. My son Mordechai Shraga can hold one thought for 48 hours. Such a dovik. In this Kedusha. And like many Rishoner Tzaddikim, that he didn't say Torah. He used to say Torah in his earlier years, but then he stopped. And the last thing that they heard him say was something very, very cryptic, and then he stopped saying Torah. But as the Olam said, and which was always like that in Beis Rishon, that just to see the Tzaddik and in his silence, it was enough just to see him. He says that when he would be by the Tish, so we go into a Dvekas, open Dvekas, very clear, like Aliyas Hashem, a big Dvekas. And he says that he had a certain position that he would always have. He would put like his hand over his head and leaning over. And he said that they saw the that moment where his eyes would like go up, and all that you saw was the white in his eyes. But he was that Dvekas that he had at the Tish that they saw from him. He says many times like a fly would come and land on the white of his eye, and he wouldn't budge. And he wouldn't blink his eye, he wouldn't move his eye, and he was in such a state of dvekis that even that sensation, that feeling, which would be a natural reaction just to like blink your eye, he wouldn't move. Comment. It says here that that because of his Tara, his tremendous Tara. You know, Tara is an Indian of Tumma, of a Tara, Misa, and Chayim. So the Tzaddikim said about him that if he would say Shema, with his Shema Yisrael, he could be Mechayim Mason. The Kachav, says the Kachav, that once when he was in Eretz Yisrael, this year he says he recalled the Misa, his name was the Ramordechai Faivish. No, that's the name of the Rebbe, it says somebody here recalls the Misa. That there was a certain be'er, there was a certain well in the chatzar of the Rebbe, and there was a certain yid who went down there to go fix it, and while he was down there, some type of a boulder fell onto his head and killed him in the be'er. So the Hoysi Atner, he said that he had so much tzar from the fact that a yid would have been killed in his chatzar, so he made tchiyas mezamana. In fact, there's a story about a certain chassid that he had a goyish worker, and he died on the job, and he was very afraid what was going to happen to him from the authorities, and he was too far to go to his Rebbe to go be poil Yeshua. So it says that he stood by the guy, and he was mahar to mekasher himself b'dvekis to his Rebbe, and long from that dvekis and that kesher that he was making long distance, with the emuna that his Rebbe could be mechayim esim, the guy had a tchiyas esim. So the Rebbe on Purim by the Tish was once in a very, very serious mood. Very serious mood. And there was a chassid who was like a badchen, and he would always, you know, lighten up the Rebbe, and he put the Rebbe into a good mood. But he couldn't he was struggling to have a child, so in his joking, he turned to the Rebbe, he took like some type of a bowl, and he said, "Right here, Rebbe, throw the child right here." Right here, he made a bowl, and the Rebbe said, like, in a nod like that, and then because of that, he had a child. Once by the Yom HaNoraim, there was the usual chazanim. So they were getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the chazan for Shachris got sick, and they appointed another yid, a Reb Moshe, who was going to take over as the chazan. That's who the Rebbe appointed. And it came a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and he came to the Rebbe, and he said, "Rebbe, I have mamash no voice. It's not shaykh that I'm going to do that." The Rebbe said, "No." He says, "Eibish dehelfin, you're going to be the chazan." So it was already Erev Rosh Hashanah, again, Eibish dehelfin, Rosh Hashanah. The Rebbe said, "Eibish dehelfin, you're going to be the chazan." So he says, it wasn't shaykh at all. He literally had no voice. The way that the Masapir told over the story was this. He says, like a table can't speak, that's how this yid couldn't sing. That's what he said. He says, but when he got up to sing HaMelech, as soon as he said the word HaMelech, he came out. Such a voice. L'malim in Ateva. And that was Rosh Hashanah. Second day Rosh Hashanah, he appointed him to Daven Musaf. And in Yom Kippur, Motzi Yom Kippur, when everybody came together to make Tish after Motzi Yom Kippur, and all the Chazanim were singing, he pasha couldn't get it. He couldn't sing anymore. As soon as Yom Kippur were over, he lost his voice completely. He was back to being like a table. Afterwards.
Didn't
you
get like an additional profile?
Didn't need it anymore. Didn't need it. He said that he once told his son, Rabbi Israel, that in my younger years I used to look at my esrog before Sukkot to make sure that I had a good esrog. But in my later years, I make the bracha on whatever esrog I get, and when I make the bracha on it, it becomes a beautiful esrog. There's a Galena Rebbe told over this Maisa that at the Mordechai Shraga, so there was an usher who was a very big kamsan, he was very miserly, and he wouldn't give a pruta to anybody, and that was very well known. So once an ani came to his house, and he was very hungry, and he asked for something to eat, some money, and the kamsan, the usher, he said, "No way, get out," and he threw him out of the house, and as soon as he left the door, he plopped onto the floor and he died. And he was very, and when he saw that happen, this usher himself, he collapsed and he fainted. And he sees in his dream that he's in front of the Beis Din Shalmala. And all of a sudden there's a basko which goes out and says, "Make way for Mordechai Shraga from Osiyat." So he comes in, Mordechai Shraga, into the Beis Din Shalmala, and he starts to scream at this usher. He says, "How could you do that? Throw him out of your house?" And then he starts to plead, and he says, "Please, Rebbe, don't let me die." He says, "You know, you deserve to die for that. You killed this ani." He says, I'll take care of the almana. I'll take care of the widow." He says, "No, you have to make sure that you change your life." He started to give tzedakah, and he says, "Okay, Rebbe, I'll do so." So he wakes up. And then he doesn't know who the Rebbe is. It wasn't like it took place in his town. He just heard that in the baskol in Shemayim, which said that the Rebbe from Rusiatin is coming in. So he wanted to find out if this Rebbe was alive, and he found out that he is, and he traveled there, and he walked in. soon as he saw the Osiyati, he fainted again. Just to see his face, he fainted again. And as soon as he got up, the Osiyati said to him, he says, I told you to make sure you give tzedakah. As soon as he walked in. Make sure you don't forget what I told you to do. Once the Gaboim were having a discussion about what kalim to put onto the table for the night of the Seder. Should they put the gold kalim? Should they put the silver kalim? So anyways, they came to some type of an agreement of what kalim to put on. So, but when the Halakha Rebbe came in and he really touched the table, he said that he had such a pachad, he had such a trembling from the Kedusha of the night of the Seder, that the entire table started to tremble and all of the kalim fell off the table. So they said, even though they came to an agreement, they said it was worth it that all the kalim should fall just to see the Rebbe's, his pachad and his yira that he had just coming to the Seder that night, holding the table, and in his pachad, the whole table shook and everything fell off too. So once a...
It'd be great if there was like somebody we could go to now and get these experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once the Rebbe, he told a certain chassid to go and daven for the Amid. And so he was refusing. He said, no, Rebbe. He says, I can't daven. I'm not a good davener. So the Rebbe said, why? Why should you be a good davener? Why would you not daven? He says, I'm afraid to daven for the Amid. He says, oh, you're afraid. That's perfect. That's exactly the right mead that you need to have. You're the perfect guy for the job. So afraid to daven for the Amid. Says that... Similar ma'aseh to the one before, there was an ani who bought a talis, bought a new talis, and he instructed his son that he wanted to be buried in this talis. And he shook on it, and it was a very serious thing. But in the end, the son himself was also very poor, and he ended up giving this talis to his new son-in-law. And when his son-in-law married his daughter, which is customary to give a talis to the son-in-law, so he gave and he buried his father in the old talis. So not long after that, so this son, he started to get sick and he was going to die. And
the son
who gave away the talis, uh-huh. He didn't bury his father in the talis, and he was like in a coma, and all of us, they thought that it was it, and then he woke up, and they asked him what happened. He said that after I buried my father in the talis, a short while after, my father would come to me in a dream and he would say to me, why didn't you bury me in the talis? I told you to. He says, do you know what type of a busha and embarrassment I have in Shaman that everybody there is wearing new talisim and I'm wearing an old talis? So he said, my father kept coming to me and he says my life was in danger. I was going to die because of his kepeda. So he said, in this coma though, so... all of a sudden, in the Beis in Shamala, the Rebbe the Hoysiatner appeared, and he started to say to my father, "So, what good is it going to be if your son dies? You want your son that he should die over this?" It wasn't that he intended to do anything wrong; he was bedaychak. He couldn't help it. He was very poor, and he had no talis to give to the son-in-law, but he didn't mean any harm. So the father agreed, and he was meichel his son. So 8 years passed, and this yid went to go visit the Hoysiatna. And as soon as he stepped foot to go see the Hoysiatna, he fainted. So why did he faint? So when he woke up, he said that when I saw the Hoysiatna, he was wearing the exact same clothes that he wore 8 years earlier in the dream. And the Gaboim said that he hadn't worn those clothes for 8 years, but this day he said, "I want to put on these clothes," which means to say, not only did he appear in Shemaim, he also to this chassid, he knew that he was coming on that day, and he asked to wear those clothes, same exact clothes.
Maybe like white shirt, 5 pounds,
whatever Bechashet it was.
Very very fancy
dynasty. Oh yeah, vision, yeah.
Well, bling bling.
Yeah. Here's a little bling bling I'll tell you about. Yeah. So he says that once it was on Erev Shabbos, so he would go to the mikvah, of course, but he asked that it should be brought in front of him a bucket of water, because he wanted to like to wash his chest first before going to the mikvah. I don't exactly understand what happened, but anyways, one of the chassidim here says that as the Rebbe lifted up his shirt in order to kind of like wash his back, his chest, whatever, they saw that underneath that shirt and underneath his tzitzis, he was wearing sackcloth. And underneath the sackcloth, there was some type of, it was like needles and nails. And he says that the entire sackcloth was filled with blood. That's what it was. This was the Yisurim that he brought upon himself for Tzar Shechina. No. That, and you know, yeah. I don't know, the visioner was like that also. You know, the visioner, he carried himself with tremendous royalty. But in his shoes, he was gushing blood everywhere in his body. He was gushing blood. The visionary. It was all a show. It was a show. And they had their inyanim. The last thing that the Rebbe said, he said a few days before his patira, he said, "I'm not talking anymore." He hardly said anything ever. But he said, "I'm not talking anymore. I'm only going to be merames." So what was the very last thing which he said? He was sitting on his bed, and there was talk at the time about that the stargazers were saying that there was a comet or a shooting star which was coming towards the earth. Remember we spoke about this not long ago with the Divrei Chaim. Man, the Divrei Chaim commented on that. So there was a conversation about what this Plony says, what's going to happen. This Plony says it's going to happen. So this is the last thing he said. He says, "What do they know?" So he says, Aristotle, he says that he delved in a matter like this for 2 years about a certain comet, and he said that it was traveling from east to west. And then he had a Talmud who came and said the whole thing was wrong, and it's really traveling from west to east. You know what were really the pshat? They were both right. Because in the times of Aristotle, there was a certain tzaddik who said it should go from east to west. And then after he passed away, there was a new tzaddik who said it should go from west to east. So they were both right. But it has nothing to do with the comment, it only has to do with the tzaddikim say. That's it. That was the last thing which they heard him say. And he passed away chafez here. Again, you probably never heard of him, Mordechai Shachar Masyatin. You've never heard of him. Why? Because he didn't have a sefer. So you're familiar with the tzaddikim, that they have svarim. But the vision of tzaddikim, they didn't put out svarim. They became kedoshim with the harim, and they hardly said anything. But we're talking about tzaddiki emes, mamash goyne oilam. Goyne oilam tzaddiki emes. Tzchus yagli neval kari salame.
His name is Mordechai Shachar.